Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Getaway Friday, January the 27th, 2023, last Friday in the month of January, 14 minutes past the hour. And we spent our first hour this morning talking about another controversy here in Marion, but this one really hits home with a lot of people, and I've seen a lot of posts on Facebook about this morning. Going to try to bring you up to date and then go to our guest here who knows something about this and can maybe kind of straighten this whole thing out for us. Since 1979, Marion's official groundhog has been Buckeye Chuck, but if you pick up a Marion Star, or at least go to the Marion Star online today, I'm not sure if it's in the print edition or not, you will see a headline, Marion's Buckeye Chuck may miss Groundhog Day after PETA complaint. And a billboard, this is the picture in the Marion Star, a billboard has been placed across from the radio station, WMRN, with the picture of a groundhog that says, I'm me, not a meteorologist, it's time to chuck this tired old tradition. And apparently, according to the newspaper article, WMRN will now have a representative for Buckeye Chuck giving the prediction on Thursday morning. And then we'll talk a little bit about our celebration because this person will also be a part of our celebration. But we need to straighten some of this out, so who better to go to than a person who's been a longtime friend of ours, Marion County naturalist James Anderson. James, good morning.
Good morning, Scott. How are you?
Well, what a day we're having here today.
Yeah, I saw that on Facebook.
So, did you become aware of this morning as well as the rest of us did? I didn't know anything about this till this morning.
Yeah, I was real shocked because I was just actually on the other day just on over the phone and everything seemed okay. So, yeah, it's crazy how this just came out on about.
Well, I, you know, there's a billboard right across from the radio station. Now, I'm not over on North Main a whole lot, but have you seen this billboard or know how long it's been up?
No, to be honest. I mean, I pass, you know, right there on Williamsport all the time, but I guess I've never looked over to see that. So I'll be quite curious, how long it'll be up there.
Well, I want to talk about a few things here because I read the PETA complaint, which is also online. I guess in general, let's just start from the top here. What do you make of this?
I mean, it's sad. I mean, you know, this tradition has been happening for how long? And now that PETA organization's trying to kind of alter the tradition, and I get it. I mean, they're trying to do about the whole animal rights movement. But I know they've been trying to tackle this in other parts of the country, the famous Punxsutawney Phil. I think it was it last year or the year before, they were really trying to have them give up their tradition, and they wanted to have an animatronic robot as their representative. I don't think it went through, but I just know that's on PETA's agenda. It's not just Buckeye Chuck. I think it's all the groundhogs that they're trying to do in America. So.
Now, when something, here's what I wondered this morning because of what you just said, James. For somebody to spend that amount of money in Marion, because billboards are not cheap, for somebody to get a petition started, I don't know where the headquarters of PETA are. I think they're in California. Wouldn't somebody have had to tip them off here? Or, I mean, I would think, I mean, we don't know, but wouldn't somebody locally have had to complain for this to happen?
I would say either that or probably someone in a big metropolitan area, Columbus, Cleveland, maybe traveling through Marion. Maybe, you know, they're part of the PETA organization or maybe just affiliated in some sort and just say that, hey, you know, maybe they didn't have luck in Pennsylvania, but maybe if we can have success in Ohio, maybe the other states will follow.
Now, and I have not spoken to anybody at WMRN, and I don't know if you've talked to them either, but apparently in the newspaper article, and I don't know if you've read that either, but it says in the newspaper article that, let me pull this up here real quick, but I believe what it says is going to happen, so it looks like there has been some alteration in Thursday, that representatives for Buckeye Chuck will present his prediction. Do you know anything about that?
Representatives? No. The only thing I can think of, it could be maybe another groundhog from another facility, or I think, don't they have that famous taxidermy one that Charlie got?
Yeah, that, I don't know if they still have that down there, but at one point they had it, yeah.
Yeah, so that's all I can think of what the representative would be.
Now, you love the groundhog. It's a big thing for you. A lot of people in Marion have loved it since 1979. Does this take away from it a representative, whatever that is? We really don't know what that means now. But to not have a real groundhog there, does that change something in any way for you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was always real fun to, you know, I always bring my pelts, my groundhog pelts, and, you know, I would show the kids, but then to actually show them the real thing, that was always really special. And I just think having the live animal just adds something to the atmosphere for the whole Groundhog Day tradition.
I want to talk about PETA for a second, because I'm sure being a naturalist, that is not a name that you have not heard in the past. People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, that's what the acronym stands for. Now, what do you understand PETA's role, just in general, is, and what are they trying to do?
Yeah, so the big thing is they're trying to just create animal equality, animal welfare. You know, they're just trying to make sure that people are not mistreating animals. And I know that kind of goes along with the agenda. You know, they are against a lot of farming practices, obviously, you know, using animals for meat, for fur, any type of animal byproducts. They're highly against that. So I would assume a lot of them are probably vegetarian, vegan, probably in that style. And I know, you know, being 4-H and FFA, I know they were against those organizations because they would, you know, be really against on how the kids or the farmers would treat the animals. And what I mean by treating, sometimes PETA's really against, you know, sometimes keeping the animals in, you know, little corrals. And sometimes you have to, especially like when you have hogs and you're during the during their season when they're giving their birth to their litters. And you can't give them in large spaces. And PETA just has sometimes a hard understanding that sometimes these practices come into place for the animals' welfare to help them out. But I think it's just that conflict, you know, of trying to show the balance of what's good and what's not. Sometimes it can be a little misleading. But I know in the fur industry, I know that PETA has been very successful here in America because probably a lot of your listeners, especially your older listeners, you know, they would probably tell you that trapping was a very big thing. And, you know, you can make a lot of money for trapping. And actually, you know, prior to the 80s, I mean, it was common. People did that as an occupation. And it wasn't until about the 1980s when PETA kind of started out really heavy about not using fur for the fashion industry. So that's why fur prices aren't really well. But then in Europe, they're actually still very popular. I know in Sweden and Finland, they're still very popular. But I just know that the overall goal is they just want us to be very kind towards animals.
That being said, because I have seen some people attacking PETA this morning when this came out, because Buckeye Chuck is a beloved treasure that we have here in Marion, is attacking PETA and saying negative things about them and changing their acronym to something unpleasant, is that the best way to handle this at this point?
I don't think so. I mean, I know we're getting really hurt because you know, they're kind of altering a tradition that's been happening here in Marion for a very long time. But I would say, you know, if we can open up, you know, where the groundhog comes from and show that, you know, that they are well taken care of, they're not being abused, maybe that could open PETA's eyes and saying, you know, hey, maybe they're not bad after all. I mean, I'm not sure what the whole circumstance is, but I mean, that would be my pretty good guess.
Well, this is something I wanted to talk to you, James, about, because on the PETA petition website about this whole thing, and maybe this is where it came from, as opposed to Punxsutawney Phil or any other groundhog celebrations that go on that do use real groundhogs, apparently Cocos Exotics, who has been supplying the groundhog to WMRN, apparently has a license to breed and sell, but not to exhibit them. And apparently, according to PETA, they have been, and I want to make sure I get this right, they have unlawfully supplied, COCUS has unlawfully supplied the groundhog to WMRN's annual Buckeye Chuck event for years, with the U.S. Department of Agriculture, when the U.S. Department of Agriculture learned of last year's display, the agency cited the supplier for violating the Federal Animal Welfare Act of 2011. COCUS has received 120 citations for violations of the AWA, including more than 70 in 2022 alone, and the agency even suspended COCUS's license for 21 days due to this extensive record. It sounds like that's where the problem started, James.
Oh, okay. So it sounds like they're more against the Kosix exotic than the actual groundhog.
Well, I think they want them to do away with the groundhog, but I think it sounds to me like the problem started with how did you not know they were cited last year after this event, and, you know, check the background of the people you're using.
Yeah, and I guess I could see that. I mean, if PETA is, you know, kind of investigating that, and I'm not sure what this facility is and, you know, and how they're treating animals, but I could see that's why PETA would be fighting it if this facility wasn't taking care of their animals well. I could see that being a reason they would want to fight that.
And just at the end, the PETA, what they say on the petition is they please politely ask WMRN to replace Buckeye Chuck with a creative alternative, such as a costume mascot, and continue its Groundhog Day tradition in a progressive, innovative way that is not harmful to animals. So I don't think PETA was saying cancel the event. I think,
Yeah, they just don't want, I guess, a live groundhog being used.
Right, but it does sound, I mean, the thing they really hit hard in there is the people who are supplying the groundhog.
Yeah.
Now, I guess the question is, when it comes to rules and regulations like that, is this something that people should know who are dealing with groundhogs, that you have a license to exhibit, that you aren't being fined, that you weren't fined after last year's event or cited?
Yeah, so there's a lot of interesting laws in the state of Ohio when it comes to the whole exotic trade. And I'll admit, I do not have a lot of background in the whole exotic thing, but groundhogs are not considered an exotic species. They're a native species. See, being a naturalist, I do have to have a permit if I want to use any type of native wildlife, primarily reptiles and amphibians. Now, my permit is only good for 30 days. Those animals are only good for 30 days. And then if I were to keep them after 30 days, I would legally have to get what's called a pit tag, which is basically what they'll do is they'll put a little transmitter inside the animal. And so when the Division of Wildlife would come by and scan it and say, hey, that's a particular animal that cannot be released out into the wild, because if you keep in the wild animal more than 30 days, you have to get that. And only places like nature centers or park districts like us, or like OSU or wildlife rehabilitation facilities like Ohio Bird Sanctuary, Ohio Wildlife Center, they are allowed to obtain the permits. But just your average Joe is not allowed. And I know, being a naturalist, I hear people all the time say, oh, I used to have a pet raccoon or a pet skunk or what. But Ohio has really changed their laws. But other states, I know you are legally allowed to keep native wildlife as pets, or certain wildlife as pets, but in Ohio, we have more stricter laws. Now, I don't know about the whole exhibitor thing, because, like, when I go to schools and nursing homes and what, I don't use an exhibitor license with reptiles and amphibians. I just have that education permit, but then, again, I only keep them less than 30 days, so I'm not sure where that all comes from, but I guess I would have to dig in deeper. But Chad Grody, our wildlife officer, you know, he's the one that really enforces those kind of laws.
Now, when we look at this whole situation on the whole, whose responsibility is it to know things like this? I mean, this tradition's been going on since 1979, and it really does, as we've both said here this morning, sound like if the person supplying the groundhog had not been under such scrutiny, that maybe this wouldn't have got so much attention.
Yeah.
Is that on the is that on WMRN for not knowing that they were cited and have been cited and have lost their license, a suspended license? I mean, should you know things like that when you're dealing with an event like this?
I mean, maybe, but definitely in Kosix Exotics, I mean, I guess if you're not following the rules, I mean, obviously you're going to get fined and cited by some type of government agency. But sometimes I guess it can be easy to forget, of who's supplying it. So I guess it's kind of a gray area there.
Well, one of the big questions here, because they do mention that this is harmful to the groundhog, because, as we all know, this is a folklore event. The groundhog really doesn't predict the weather, I guess. And that this is just an exhibit. This is just done for exhibition, and that it is harmful to the groundhog, panics the groundhog. I forget the verbiage that they use here. But is it your understanding that a big crowd like that with lights and everything being focused in on an animal like a groundhog, wild animal, could that be harmful to the groundhog?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. It can cause a lot of stress. And we have to also remember, too, especially right now, I mean, groundhogs should be hibernating. They shouldn't really be very active. I remember the woman from Kosix Exotics last year, she did keep them in a hibernational state, but I think it was like a week or so right before the event. They had to put them in a warm room, and it took about a week and a half, and then he finally came awake. And I know, like last year, he was very active, but he really liked to hide in her hair. He kind of reminded me of like a little baby. But yeah, I mean, any type of loud noises and lights, and yeah, that could cause a lot of stress on the animal.
So I guess on the whole, as we've become more enlightened as time has went on, and we like having the live groundhog there. It's been there since 1979, certainly a lot longer in Pennsylvania. Is this a bad thing to do in hindsight, to have a real groundhog there and do this thing?
I mean, I would have always wanted to have a live groundhog going to a Groundhog Day event. But I would always want to make sure, you know, if I was running the event, I mean, maybe, yeah, may want to investigate, make sure the animal is properly taken care of and things like that. But sometimes that can be hard, you know, especially, you know, I just mentioned, I mean, the animal's sleeping most of the time. So I guess we're just trying to take the word of who the supplier.
Now, I was not at Groundhog Day last year, but have you ever witnessed anything that was, I know you talked about a few incidents there with groundhogs, but where things were not maybe as you would have liked them as a naturalist yourself?
I know some years, there was one year, I want to say it was 2016 or 17, he was a very aggressive groundhog, and I actually got to take him back to my house because I took him to an event in Morrow County, and I made sure he was in a very dark room, and I just remember just how stressed he was, so we just wanted to make sure he was quiet and everything. So I know, I guess it depends on how much they handle them, would depend on how calm they are, but I know in that one, I probably wasn't the happiest camper.
Yeah. Well, it's a hard thing because, of course, we all love Buckeye Chuck, and of course we all have loved this tradition since 1979, but I know we also all are animal lovers. We don't want to see animals hurt or tortured or anything in any way. So it's a really hard thing because, as you say, it is traumatic for the groundhog to do this. But, you know, I don't know which outweighs which, tradition or harmful. I mean, obviously, if ours goes down, I think all the other groundhogs should go down, but it's a tough weight here.
It is.
And I guess we'll see what happens in the end, but
We will be out there, so, yep, we'll have our display out there. So.
Well, what do you think in the end should happen here? I mean, obviously, there was a quick turnaround this year to get representatives of the groundhog, but now that people will have a year to plan, how do you think this should be carried out?
I would say, I mean, I guess if Kosix is getting all the citations and all that, maybe find a different supplier. I know, like, the Ohio Wildlife Center, which is a wildlife rehabilitation center in the Dayton area. Sometimes they have groundhogs. I know it's either the Toledo Zoo or the Toledo Museum. One of those places have a groundhog. So maybe find somewhere else in Ohio that may have a groundhog that we could borrow for the event.
And I do want to talk about our event while I've got you on the line here, James, because you are going to be at our event next Thursday. Yes. Our event kicks off at 8:15 here, and we'll run through 10 o'clock. Now, what we have going on is going to be a lot of fun. What's going to happen is we're going to have our groundhog pizza, which, by the way, God forbid, let's tell the PETA, it's not real groundhog, groundhog pizza. It's just, we call it groundhog pizza. Under four slices of the groundhog pizza, there will be a card that says six more weeks of winter. Under four slices, there will be a card that says early spring. Now, what will happen is, at 8:45, there will be somebody in a groundhog suit that will be driven up here by OSU superfan Buckeye Guy. He's going to bring the groundhog to the event. The groundhog will walk over to the pizza, select a slice of pizza, and whatever prediction is under that piece of pizza will be our weather prediction. Then, 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow, will be here to sign that prediction and date it as our official weather prediction, and our groundhog, which is a person in a groundhog suit, will be Warren Groundhog Harding. That's our groundhog's name. So that's what will be going on Thursday morning. What do you think of that, James?
I like that. I like it. It's still kind of the same tradition, but it's got a little spin to it. I like it. I'm quite excited to be on board.
Yes, you'll be here for that, and we certainly appreciate that, and have OSU fan here, and Mary Ellen Withrow, and yourself, and by the way, here's the other thing. The identity of the person in the groundhog suit will not be revealed until they go to take a bite of the pizza. That's when they will have to take the head off. The day before, the listeners will have a chance to call in and guess who the groundhog is. And whoever guesses the right identity of the groundhog will win a prize.
I like it.
So it's a fun event, and I think, you know, we're not doing it the same time as WMRN. They're 7 to 8, we're 8 to 10, so there's no conflict there. We're not using any real groundhogs. We want Charlie's legacy to stand as Buckeye Chuck. We didn't want to name our groundhog Buckeye Chuck for that reason. So, you know, it's just something different.
Yeah, I like it.
Now the big question here, and I think it's a question for a lot of people, no matter what happens here with Buckeye Chuck, real groundhog or not, this does not diminish what Charlie Evers started in 1979. To get that underway, Buckeye Chuck is still Ohio's official groundhog, and we should not forget that.
Absolutely.
So, James, I guess the parting words on a story like this, what would you say to people who are either enraged or, I'm sure there are some people happy out there this morning that this isn't happening anymore. What would you say to them?
I would say just like what you just said, you know, if things do change and it's not the tradition that we're hoping for, you know, let's just keep the spirit going, you know, especially for Charlie. I mean, I know Charlie may have been upset, but you know what? Having this event just always brings memories back up of our good friend Charlie Evers.
Absolutely. James, thank you so much for joining us, and I'll see you Thursday morning.
All right, see you Thursday.
Bye-bye. Marion County naturalist James Anderson. Well, there's all you wanted to know about the story of the groundhog. All right, our phone lines are open if you have anything you'd like to say. 740-383-9944. I am at the studio today. 36 coming up on 37 minutes past the hour. And remember, the story is PETA apparently does not want a real groundhog used during Groundhog Day, Buckeye Chuck, here in Marion. So as best we can tell, has anybody gotten the newspaper? Is it in the actual paper copy today? The idea is, I guess, representatives for Buckeye Chuck will read the prediction this year is what's going to happen. So that's, you know, hey, listen, you got a week to go. That's it's tough to come up with any kind of a solution. Any thoughts on this? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, our event, you just heard, will be Thursday, Groundhog Day, from 8:15 until 10 o'clock here at the station. And we will have a lot of fun with that. And again, it's open to the public. You just heard all about it. The pizza, the prediction, the person in the groundhog suit, Buckeye Guy, Mary Ellen Withrow, the whole spiel on Thursday morning. And it looks like the weather's going to be nice, so we're all happy for that. And, you know, I don't know. It's just, it's a weird, weird story. You know, people love animals, and I think sometimes that brings out certain parts of people, and you get events like this. I just can't imagine, though, that PETA, which I think is headquartered in Los Angeles, got this ball rolling. It would seem to me that somebody locally would have had to have complained or something of that nature. I can't imagine the people in California are really caring what Marion, Ohio does on February the 2nd. So, I don't know. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. What do you make of our big lead story this morning? Which apparently is the lead story in the paper. Has anybody gotten the paper yet to know if this is in the paper today? The actual hard copy of the paper? It's obviously online. It is interesting to know that apparently this is a little harmful to the groundhog, according to James Anderson. I mean, it's tough. You know, we have traditions, and it's very difficult to part with traditions. And I'm not necessarily sure that we should. I don't know. If you're an animal lover and you don't want to harm an animal, I don't know. It's a tough call. 740-383-9944. Okay. Well, that's pretty much all I got to say about that for now. Hope you turn up to our event. After their event, still go down and do Buckeye Chuck. 7 to 8 a.m. down at WMRN, and then come down here 8 to 10, and we're going to have a lot of fun and present the plaque to the Groundhog Trivia Contest winner. We're going to do Groundhog Trivia Wednesday, 8:15 until 10 a.m., and whoever gets the most questions right will get a plaque on Thursday morning at our event. And a prize for the person guessing the identity of our groundhog, Warren Groundhog Harding. Okay. And we'll have Abby in here later on. I'll tell you, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7 of these questions for her. Personal questions about, advice questions, I guess is what we should say. All right. Phone lines are open. Anything to say about Buckeye Chuck or what else? What else is on the agenda today? That's pretty much it this morning. That's all we've really gotten into. 740-383-9944. Okay. You know, we did this last week and had a lot of fun with it. We thank James Anderson, by the way, Marion County Naturalist, for joining us. And he'll be here at our event on Thursday as well. So come out if you want to. Okay. We had a list. Where in the world did my list go? Oh, here it is. Okay, we were having some fun the other day doing what used to be where something was in Marion. Now, I have a list of these things here, and I thought we'd do a little more of this this hour. Now, what two businesses used to be where Panera Bread is now? There were two other businesses in that location. Does anybody know what they were? What two businesses were where Panera Bread is now? 740-383-9944. What business used to be where Blue Fusion is now? Now that should be an easy one. I would know that one off the top of my head. What business used to be where Blue Fusion is now? And what business used to be where Big Lots is now? Matter of fact, I think it was in the same building that Big Lots currently uses. 740-383-9944. Does anybody know the answers? 740-383-9944. What two businesses used to be where Panera Bread is now? What business used to be where Blue Fusion is now? And what business used to be where Big Lots is now? Those are the three questions. Is your memory working out there this morning? 740-383-9944. You know who I have? When I do trivia like this, It makes me think of our old friend Ernie Brees. Now, I know when we first switched over, Ernie had said that he had an Alexa, I think, or a Google Dot, so he could still listen to the station, but I have not heard from Ernie for a while. So I hope he's still out there. Ernie, if you're still out there, I hope you can give us a call sometime. We'd love to hear from you. I know when we were making the transition to digital, he was asking some questions about that because he did have the technology, so I hope he made the trip over with us. And as I was saying, last Sunday, I ran into our friend who used to listen all the time, Ruben, who was not aware that we made the digital switch over, and he said he was going to make the switch over. I gave him the app information, and he said he had internet, so I hope he's back with us. So if anybody's out there who knows anything about these two people, or either one of them is out there, we'd love to hear from them. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, we also had a trivia question, or a Family Feud question, that's been going here for a couple weeks, and we still don't have all the answers for this. If you could go to the land of Oz, what would you ask the wizard for? If you could go to the land of Oz, what would you ask the wizard for? Now, the answers we have, money was number one, a new heart was number two, a brain was number three, peace on earth was number five, love was number six, happiness was number seven. There are still two answers left in this Family Feud category. What are they? If you could go to the land of Oz, what would you ask the wizard for? Money, heart, brain, peace on earth, love, and happiness. We have those answers. What are the remaining two answers? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 15 minutes left in this hour. Does anybody have the answers for these questions? If you could go to the land of Oz, what would you ask the wizard for? Now, of course, a lot of these are from the Wizard of Oz movie. Not money, but we got money, health, a new heart, brain, peace on earth, love, happiness. If you know any of the answers, the two answers that remain, give us a buzz, 740-383-9944. And again, our roundabout Marion trivia questions, our Marion history here. Well, we'll come back to this in a second. Let's go to the phones. Go ahead, caller.
Did somebody say eternal youth or something to do with good health or permanent health?
Yeah, good health and a new heart are together at number two.
Let me give another answer. This might be my answer to maybe reconnect with any deceased relatives, bring your parents back to life or something similar to that.
Let's see here. No, I don't see bringing anybody back to life, but that's an interesting wish. Hey, what do you make of all the groundhog hullabaloo today?
Well, I agree with the gentleman who called earlier. I am a charter member of People Eating Tasty Animals. As I'm an animal lover, they're delicious. And James and I talked, you might have heard this week, groundhogs are, I mean, yeah, they're cute and they have a symbolism, especially in four-season climates like here, but they're a bit of a nuisance animal, and they're plentiful. And so I mean, they can be eaten. I mean, they're not really considered gourmet, but James had one when he was younger, and he said it kind of tasted like pork. But, I mean, PETA, they over-dramatize, and I really don't particularly care what they have to say. I'll go along with the alternative PETA that I'm definitely a member of.
Yeah, but here's the question.
Just proceed, and it's America, Scott. If they want to pick it, they want to. That's fine. You know, as we've talked about, we get a lot of attention from people protesting and saying things that, you know, may not seem kind, but it puts us in the forefront.
No, but I guess what I'm saying here is, as James and I talked about, people love animals. Now, we have a lot of cats. We certainly have an overabundance of cats. Now, I don't think anybody would say, well, just because we have an overabundance of cats, it doesn't matter if we treat one badly. No, I think people are going to be angry at that.
It's a little different because cats are domesticated, and, I mean, there are feral cats, but groundhogs are a wild-type animal. There's similarities, but there are differences.
Now, but I don't see when people attack PETA, here's the problem. Because I don't think that's going to get anybody anywhere. I don't think that's going to solve the problem. And clearly the problem is we want to have a groundhog. I just think this anger's misplaced. I don't think it's PETA here. Did you hear the list of problems from this group that was supplying the animal?
Yeah, I think we got bigger problems, bigger fish to fry, Scott. Andy, Charlie's daughter, just made a post on Facebook of that nice article, Groundhog Sees His Shadow, you know, the stuffed groundhog. I really think we have bigger fish to fry right now.
Well, I don't think if you're PETA, you do.
Well, I do.
But what would their number one thing be right now, would you think?
With PETA?
Yeah.
That this is exploitation of an animal.
Right, which James said that it does harm the groundhog in some way.
In a rigorous assessment of the situation, but again, I think we have bigger problems in the world right now.
And well, I don't know.
Those are the ones that I focus on.
I don't know. I guess as I started the program off this morning to say, I don't think we should be doing away with the tradition. I don't think that we should be doing away with the groundhog, but as I look at this now, I think there probably was a mistake made somewhere along the way, and we all make mistakes. But when somebody was cited after last year's event, somebody should have told somebody something.
Possibly. I mean, listen to our station and learn more about groundhogs. James and I talked in detail this week, and you might have heard my new term. You know, I'm always one for puns and alliterations and atomism, so going gaga over groundhogs, that's the one that I made up, and that's what people are doing. And it puts this area in the forefront, as we talked about with our four-season climate. Groundhog Day has meaning, because we've already seen this winter, it's 60 one day and 10 the next, and who knows? Sometimes you get four seasons in a week. And in places where the climate's the same every day, San Diego or South Florida, not quite as interesting. So what does Groundhog's Day mean? You know, it kind of means, do you go swimming or you just you stay inside and put the air conditioning on? Here it's a case where the groundhog is right, and, you know, it's like the Zodiac. I think it does have some validity. I would discount it altogether. I just wouldn't live my life by it. Are we going to get winter until around St. Patrick's Day, or is it going to start being shorts and swimming weather later in February? And
well,
it's fun. And I think it really does put this area in the forefront. Charlie did so much, and as I talked about with James, I remember Dunkirk Dave from Western New York, because I used to live pretty close to there. So I think it does shed a spotlight in this area, and people realize Ohio is a lot more interesting than you think it is. And those who don't think Ohio is interesting, don't think Marion is interesting, then they probably haven't been here.
No, but I think the thing here is, and I want to make this very clear about this whole groundhog situation, because apparently it is front page news today. The thing about it is that if, as you said, it's freedom of speech in America, you can protest something if you want to, and apparently that's where PETA has decided to spend their money and do their thing, but also the other organization does not have to abide by that, and apparently, as I'm reading in the newspaper, they have that a representative for Buckeye Chuck will be giving the prediction this year. So apparently, somewhere along the line, something happened.
Yeah, I wouldn't have made that decision. I guess they don't really want to deal with it, Scott. I don't quite know why. But
well, it sounds like they did deal with it.
I personally don't really care what PETA has to say. I find them to be a radical organization. Yes, I love animals, too. You know, jokes aside about eating animals, which I do, I believe humans are omnivores, and I'm definitely an omnivore. I don't believe in veganism. I don't believe in the viewpoints of PETA. That doesn't mean I don't love animals. So Dear Abby had talked about this. I mean, you know, several articles in her book about it. I don't like PETA. So that's why I, like others, I say that my PETA is people eating tasty animals, and that's my opinion.
But is that it? See, now here's the problem I have with all things in America right now. If we don't like it, make fun of it. You know, I mean, yes, that's free speech, but you know,
that's always been my methodology. Scott.
Yeah, but you know what? What does it change? What does that change? If I don't like somebody, so I call them a name, You know, oh boy, well, that really makes me seem mature.
Yeah, it doesn't really accomplish much. I guess it allows us not to focus on some of the negative things that are going on, and that's always been my philosophy. Maybe just part of my own goofiness and awkwardness. I'll make fun of something, including myself. I'm a pretty funny guy.
Yeah, but if somebody else didn't like something you were doing and made fun of you continuously, would you like it?
Depends upon the context and, you know, what it is they're saying. Generally, I probably wouldn't. You know,
there
I'm
you
not
go.
One of those snowflakes who just get sensitive. But it depends. There are some things that I do find offensive, but a lot of this, I just, laughter is the best medicine. Gosh, life is short.
Well,
laugh a lot. It works wonders.
Somewhere a decision was made along the way to do away with the groundhog this year, and I don't know what that was, but clearly something happened. As I said, I think this is what should have happened. Why wait till Groundhog Week? Why didn't somebody contact somebody back in October and say, listen, the group you're using has been cited, has had their license suspended, and does not have the proper permits to do what they're doing? And then that would have given WMRN time to do what they needed to do in a proper fashion to get it out there. I would imagine they probably didn't want the picketers, which I'm sure there would have been. If they spent the money for a billboard across the street, that could have been an ugly morning had they
had the ground. You know what that reminds me of, Scott? And I think you remember this. At the adult bookstore, I think the one that's near the Mount Gilead exit, didn't a group put up, like, you know, real men don't need porn or something like that? And you probably remember that. And I believe it was, you know, the Mount Gilead exit, not far from Marion. You know, it's freedom of speech. And you know what? I think it actually encourages use of the business in the spotlight. You know, I would be more likely to go to the Lion's Den. If I saw that sign, I would laugh at it and say, well, you know, that's your opinion, and that's fine. And, you know, as a small business owner, I think it's great that the sign company, you know, got the payment for the sign, and they're all probably laughing about it, laughing all the way to the bank. Same thing that I would do. And I think it's going to...
We
talk about people not liking our station, and I agree with you. It does put us in the spotlight. It does increase listenership, and this is another example of that. And I don't agree with what WMRN did, but, you know, I consider them a competitor, so, you know, that's not necessarily a bad thing. And PETA, they're entitled to their opinion. If they want to pick it, go right ahead. I'm in favor of, again, peaceful demonstrating.
I guess the comparison that I would not make here about things that have happened to us and things that have happened to other people in this whole situation is, I think the comparison that is wrong is that I don't think anybody who has said anything negative about us was saying we were doing damage to any living thing. And there are a lot of people. There's a Humane Society. It's not just PETA. There's the Humane Society. There's the zoos who go out and speak on things like this. Jim Fowler used to speak about things like this, animal education. And, you know, we're talking about living things. I don't think we've ever harmed a living thing.
Right. Oh,
and I'm not saying they're harming living things.
No, it's not a perfect
I'm just saying
analogy,
that's the difference.
Right, there are parallels, but no, by no means is it a perfect comparison. But that's my opinion. You know, I'll always give you my opinion, and I always try to do it with a good dose of laughter. And I, you know, I'm an advocate of free speech, but not violent protest. I don't see PETA as being that way. I mean, they're entitled to their opinion. I respect them. It's
well, I'll tell you what.
America, we have our opinions, and I gave you mine, and I love nature too. You know, I love talking to James about the flora and fauna.
But
I'm realistic, also.
Let me say this though. Here's where we're getting off the tracks. Is you know, I did see a post this morning where somebody said, well, what's next, the Easter Bunny and reindeer? Now, those people know very well who uses a real Easter Bunny. Nobody.
Well, Easter Bunny is fake. I mean,
right.
The groundhog's a real animal.
Right, and also when reindeer...
That shows how trivial they're being. I think
that's my point. If you want the groundhog, support that and find facts of why it is not harmful to a groundhog. Don't start attacking PETA and talking about Easter bunnies and reindeer. That's not what we're talking about here.
Yeah, well, some people just like to... I guess cause controversy. I don't know, but you know, I told you my opinion, Scott, and I think it's putting us in the forefront.
Well, you know what? That's just a great irony of the whole thing, is that we are doing a groundhogless event, so which has been planned now for about 2 months, so there you go.
And I think this will further increase our visibility, and it'll be entertaining. You know, it'll have some, you know, very small amount of scientific validity, but I think sometimes these things can have a real component to them, and they're fun. You know, it's a social event, something to do in the winter when sometimes people are cooped up and depressed. And let's enjoy the four season climates that we have here in this part of the country.
Well, let's see.
Something that's traditional and put a modern twist on a traditional thing.
Well, we shall see what happens. Thanks, Adam.
Okay, Scott. Have a nice day.
All right. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. What's your opinion? About a minute left in the broadcast, 740-383-9944. Now, we've still got two more hours to go here, so you certainly have a chance to call in from 11:15 until 1. It's just, you know, the comments I'm starting to see, I'm not sure are going to do this any good. When you start attacking PETA, and you start bringing up things like the Easter Bunny and reindeer, I'm not sure that's going to get you your live groundhog back. Maybe pointing out why it's okay to use a live groundhog might be the way to go about this. Maybe this is an education. I think a lot of people should see this as an educational thing, to where, okay, what are the laws in Ohio? Is this harmful to a groundhog? What can we do to get a live groundhog back and make everything okay? That's, I think, the conversation that should be happening. But hey, folks, that's just my opinion. Guess what? We're going to be back in 15 minutes. Don't you dare go away.
You're listening to WWGH Radio LP 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio. The talking place. For broadcasting legends Charlie Evers.